This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This, of course, is Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Braj
and Jeff Sandhu.
We're having a little bit of a look back at some of our favorite bits from Enterprise BizBytes of this year. And what we've decided to do is to kind of have a thematic, themey, Christmassy kind of show. And what we've decided to do for this week's show is all about consumer trends. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is we've picked four of our favourite shows from throughout the year, through various parts of the year. We've got some from July, we've got some from January, August, and September as we go through. So what we're going to do is we're going to be jumping backwards and forwards throughout the year and telling you and giving you some clips of our favourite bits of the show. So for this first show, this first one that we picked, it was all about is having too many choices a bad thing. It was me, Audrey, and Freedom. This was back in July. Mm-hmm. And so back in the 90s, it turns out there were about 7,000 items in your average grocery store. I mean, that's already a lot of stuff to choose from. But today, in 2019, that number is as high as 50,000. That's 50,000 choices. 50,000 yes or no's from one trip to the grocery store, given that there are many more important things than doing our daily shopping, and almost each of them comes with a similarly outsized wealth of options. Who wouldn't feel stressed?
Just listening to this, I feel stressed already. Right. Yeah. 50,000 items? Yeah. My God.
But this is what we chatted about. Have a quick listen. We are talking about choice. Why having too many choices makes us miserable, apparently. Mm. FOMO. We're going to embrace JOMO.
JOMO.
Joy of missing out. We're going to have a chat about that. Also, a little bit of a chat about analysis paralysis, which was the word that I was searching for in my video. But of course, I was paralyzed by too much choice because I have a lexicon up there and couldn't think of the right word. Actually, I just forgot it. So that's our story that we're going with today. The question, again, is having too many choices a bad thing? Whether it be food menus, e-wallets, Netflix shows, how much stuff is available at the grocery store? Even down to that, we're going to be chatting about it. Frida.
Mm. All right. So I was so excited about this topic because it was something that I've been reading over in the last couple of weeks and over the weekend as well, based on a book called Designing Your Life, right? And I'll lead to this story. It's written by Bill Burnett and Dave Evans. And she was talking about how when we come up with choices, there are actually four steps, right? When you whether it's a job or whatever, right? And so he says you gather and create options. So that's a process to it, right? And you narrow down the list, you know, maybe there's narrow down to five, right? And then after that, you choose discerningly on what you want to do. Now, what happens with step four is that a lot of people agonize after they make the decision, as opposed to let go and move on.
They overthink the decision.
Overthink the decision, right? So anyway, this article talks about why having too many choices makes us miserable. It's all rooted out of the fear of missing out, right? So analysis paralysis, right? It's easier to pick one out of two meals than one out of 50. This is why we have a problem here.
Yeah, I agree.
Every day, lunchtime, what are we having for lunch? Because the choices are there. If I tell you there's just this and this, you'd make a quicker choice, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Right? Anticipated regret. If there are millions of options, you should be able to find the perfect one, right? Wrong. Perfect almost never exists. So you're thinking, okay, no, what if I make the wrong decision? You know, so again, around food, right? Pizza, chicken rice, you know, I'm sorry we have to bring this up during, you know, lunchtime. Post-decision regret, right? So this imagined perfect choice sticks with you long after you've decided. So this is the part where we're agonizing, did we make the right decision? So no matter what you pick, if you had too many options at the time you made a call, you'd be more likely to regret the choice later and think it's your fault. Think about, you know, so sometimes more isn't better.
Right. And I suspect that kind of even goes into stuff like when people see your resume as well, your CV and stuff, where it's okay having all of these things that you've achieved, you know, and your education is this. But when you've got 3, 4, 5 pages, nobody wants to see that. They want to see something very quick and easy and referenceable on the first page.
It makes it difficult to focus.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Not only that, but the topics of discussion we've been having the last couple of days here in the office before the weekend was about e-wallets, right? And why there was this ridiculous amount of choice for e-wallets, something like 40 plus e-wallets on the market. And I don't know which one I should be subscribing to or where I should use it or what it offers
me. And that's why I'm not on any.
Right. And Jeff suffers from the same problem too.
But imagine if you're a merchant of your, or if you're a retailer, then, you know, which e-wallet player do you then partner up
with?
Correct. You know, which one will give you the best deals, or, you know, which ones are the ones that more consumers will use, your customers will use. So that is also a headache for merchants and retailers.
I mean, we spoke to somebody earlier that we're going to speak to. We're going to play a clip from a little bit later on about who kind of is a bit more in depth as to why there are so many choices for e-wallets. But do you find yourself suffering from analysis paralysis regularly, either of you?
I'm just going to say yes, because I spent half an hour trying to figure out what I was going to watch on Netflix yesterday and then finally ended up switching to Astro and watching a movie that was already playing. So, yes. So it just made my life easier.
I think it's the small decisions, right? I mean, but even the big decisions, that really eats at you, you know? Right. Like the movie's okay, lah, you know? But it's the big decisions that really, you really have to sit down and say, I've got to make a decision. I know something was churning and I can feel it in my gut, right? Yeah. I can feel that it's affecting me physically that I haven't made a decision or something. And the moment I made the decision,
You
feel better, right? Whether it's the right decision or not, I'm glad I made the decision.
I'll tell you exactly when I suffer from analysis paralysis, and that's when I have to book a flight. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it is. I always suffer from the same problem. I always put it off about finding the right flight. And I mean, I know where I'm going. I know what day I need to be there. It's just deciding on whether I want a 12-hour layover, a 3-hour layover, or even booking the right flight, as it turned out last time.
I just go by price.
Okay.
The most economical will work for me.
The idea of accessibility, and now that we're kind of bombarded because we have choices that we've never had before. Stuff like, you know, even which books you read, because back in the day you'd have a library and you'd go to the library and you pick up your book from. Now you can literally have anything, any book almost on the planet. You know, I think that is something that I think is an advantage to us and I think is great for us. The other thing was the decision making, and once you've decided to stick to your guns, like you've just mentioned, I think is something that we spoke about recently in a different context with the whole Marie Kondo, you know, does this thing spark joy kind of thing, where it's almost like George R.R. Martin is killing your darlings kind of thought. You know, you've got these things that you feel as though you are fully attached to, but you're not actually. There's no emotional, you know,
attachment,
connection or attachment to them. And you could probably get rid of them without it hurting you too much as part of your decision-making process. And that even came into, when I was thinking about it, when we've done these long interviews with some of our guests and, you know, you've got a guest in and you've spoken to them for an hour or something. And let's be honest, there's some interviews you walk away from less than inspired out of the studio. Mm. And you have to then think about which part of that interview you have to remove and still feel good about it, you know, and not walk away with that little bit of remorse of just like, you know, I didn't do the right thing. But the whole point is, make that decision, stick with it, and don't worry too much about whether or not you've made the wrong decision, because what you've made at that time is right for you. There we go. That was part one of the show. Mm-hmm. We've got a little more coming up, of course, throughout the show. The next clip will be all about something to do with Malaysian culture.
Mm. If you've heard the term MACD, then I think you will remember the story.
That'll be up in just a few minutes. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.